Today, as we continue our series on the love for strangers and the love for the brethren and the love for our children, I would like for us to consider a very beautiful and interesting example that is found in the Old Testament. This is Reverend Matani, Eastern Home Missionary of the Protestant Reformed Churches. It's been my privilege in the last few weeks and in the weeks to come to speak to you here on the Reformed Witness Hour as we meditate on the scriptures and our calling to show love to our brethren, to our children, but also to strangers. And I last week spoke to the example in the New Testament of Stephanas and his household who addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I want to read to you a text out of 2 Kings 4 verse 8. Really, the passage is from verses 8 all the way to the end of that chapter, but I will only read for you verse 8. And it fell on a day, 2 Kings 4 verse 8, that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. I had promised that we would have a message that will emphasize this calling to show love to the brethren, in that we would show love to the servants of God who bring to us God's word. Everywhere scripture reminds us of that. Christ tells us, for example, that if we give a cup of water to one of those who come in the name of God, that such a one will receive a great reward in the kingdom of heaven. We're told to communicate good things to those who bring to us the word of God by the Apostle Paul. Here we have a godly woman in Shunem who showed her love and her hospitality to the prophet Elisha. And we are told in this passage of scripture that she was a great woman. Let me speak to you a few moments today on the great woman of Shunem. The great woman of Shunem. The Word of God does not call her great, I don't believe, simply due to her earthly riches. Clearly, the Shunammite woman stands in contrast to the widow, account of which is recorded in the first part of 2 Kings chapter 8, that woman who was in abject poverty and who was given that miracle by the prophet Elisha when she had no more to eat or to drink, and how the prophet Elisha asked her to go and borrow vessels and fill it, and how she received an abundance. Here we are talking about a different kind of woman, not the widow, but the great woman of Shunem. Clearly she had enough food, not only to feed her family, but apparently also to give others who passed by, traveling like Elisha. In fact, we read in verses 8 through 10 that they not only fed him, but they constructed an extra room for the prophet. For she turns to her husband in that passage and she says to him in verse 9, "Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." You see, whenever Elisha would take his journey between Mount Carmel and Samaria, he would need a place to find some rest and refreshment. And here was the great woman of Shunem, who used her gifts and that of her husband's together, and in fact pleaded with her husband that the prophet would not only have a place to eat, not only have a room to sleep, but she took care of the details, a place to sit, a place to read, a place to write, because she wanted to show that hospitality to the prophet. Children who are listening, radio friends, let us look at this woman and begin to appreciate how much godly mothers of Israel really do for God's people, and especially for God's servants when they are willing to show them hospitality. Her greatness clearly was not simply in the fact that she had great riches as such. There may be many rich women who look out of the window and see children and see many passing by, as we did, you know, just a few weeks ago when our young people in Pittsburgh had a car wash and many passed by and they saw these young people and children and they looked out of the window and even smiled. Actually, most of them were courteous, but you see, some were kind enough to stop by and support and show their kindness by even giving to the cause that these young people were seeking to promote. But you get my point. It's not just riches that stir people to give, but it is when someone has true greatness like this woman of Shunem, who is willing by the grace of God to use those riches to the service of God and to the service of His kingdom, that then such a one is indeed truly great in the sight of God and such a blessing also to men, and in this case to God's own prophet. I believe that this is what this particular narrative in 2 Kings chapter 4 is all about. Here is this great woman who lived in Shunem, but her riches had not blinded her to the needs of others, like the prophet Elisha. No, Elisha did not knock at her door to ask for food. This Shunammite constrained him to come in. Why? Why Elisha? Maybe she did it for others too. We are not told. But why Elisha? Well, the narrative explains, as I read a moment ago, verse 9. I perceive, she says to her husband, this is an holy man of God. You see, she loved God, and therefore she loved the prophet too. She saw Elisha passing by continually, and so she asked, what would thou have me do? Scripture teaches many things about hospitality, but one is clear. Serve those who serve God. Serve those who serve God. Jesus promises great reward to those who even give a cup of water to one of his disciples. Here is the great woman of Shunem who persuaded her husband to provide a place of rest for the prophet. She knew what it meant to show hospitality to God's servants. Now, we see in this passage of Scripture not only her greatness, but also her steadfast faith. Because her underlying greatness was indeed through the power of faith. When asked for a reward, when the prophet had experienced the great hospitality of this woman. And by the way, those who preach and teach God's word ought not take this hospitality for granted, nor demand it as if it is their right. They ought to show appreciation. They ought to show gratitude in turn for such love of Christ bestowed upon them. And so did this prophet, Elisha. He is clearly touched by the kindness, and he calls for her in verse 12 of this passage. We read, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. In verse 13, he said unto him, say unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done unto thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. You see, her response was, no, I dwell among my own people, meaning I have everything. I don't need anything. I am content. But Elisha persists, and Gehazi the servant answers and says to him, she have no child, and her husband is old. He puts that thought, you see, to Elisha that perhaps that is her need. And so Elisha says, call her. And when he has called her, she stood in the door. And verse 16, he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. See, she was shocked. She was not doing this hospitality for any gain. She was not expecting any reward. But here, out of grace, as she had cared for this prophet, She is given that reward. She is informed that she is going to be with child. How can this be? She says. Remember Sarah, how she laughed when one of the strangers who were entertained by Abraham promised that a child would come in due time. So also the Shunammite. She nearly fainted in shock. But yes, it will come to pass. In verse 17, we read, "And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life." It's a miracle, isn't it? A wonderful miracle that is being recorded here for us in 2 Kings chapter 8. That God rewards in His grace such hospitality. God in His mercy actually had already ordained and planned that Elisha should come into the house of this woman. And that through this reception of hospitality, she should then be rewarded with a covenant child. Let the godly mothers of Israel who are hearing this story be encouraged greatly. Have you washed many saints' feet? And do you cry out, "But oh God, how about my family?" Wait on the Lord. Do you look after the children in the church and cry out, "Lord, how about me? I do not have a child." I say to you, submit to God and trust in Him. Do you say, "Oh well, I'm only going to care for children when I have my own children and my own grandchildren"? I say to you, care for God's people. Show hospitality to the saints. Show hospitality to God's servants. Wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Or do you say, "You know what? I have so many children. I have grandchildren. I have no time to show any care and concern to my fellow saints, much less to have the pastor over for a meal. The pastor has 10 children. I can't do that." I say to you, mother of Israel, godly woman, learn from the great woman of Shunem. Trust God who will provide all your needs. But then the story turns. You know what? The child dies. The child that was promised to this Shunammite woman is born, all right. But then he dies. It's a very sad but touching description we read in verses 18 and through 20 of this passage. When the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Was it heat? Had he taken a fall? We're not told the details. That young lad was held in his mother's arms till noon and then died. She had not even asked for this child, although she must have cried to God and desired it in her heart. But now the child, who so graciously had been promised by the prophet Elisha, had suddenly been snatched from her after caring for that child, I don't know, 10, 12, 13 years perhaps. What grief, what sorrow must have brought to the heart of this great woman of Shunem. But I submit to you, this is where her greatness really did shine forth. Her faith carried her through. Did she now make arrangements for mourning and for burial? No. Now, what does she do in verse 21? She goes up and lays this child of all places on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she calls unto her husband and says, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." She asked her husband to let her go now to see Elisha. It seems as if this man was kind of legalistic, and he says in verse 23, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." As if, you know, you only go and see the man of God on those holy days or what? And she said, "It shall be well." Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me except I bid thee." And she went until she came to Mount Carmel so that she might see the man of God, Elisha. It will be well. What did she mean by that? It will be all right. I'll just come back later. Don't worry about me. There's no time to waste. I got to go. I submit to you. Already then, she knew in her heart, it will be well. She believed, God will use Elijah to raise my son. It is God who gave me this child. It is God who will restore this child. It's not normal, you know, for the woman to come and see the great prophet. And now Gehazi tries to thrust her away. Because who is this woman to come without an appointment to see the great prophet Elisha? Elisha, of course, saw the woman and he said to Gehazi, go meet her. Ask her, is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? She answered, yes, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. The man of God said, no, let her alone. Gehazi thought, don't disturb the busy prophet. He's praying. He's in the business of God. He's in the holy sanctuary. He's a prophet. Who are you to come and disturb him? But the prophet said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and have not told me. And then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins. He knew what had happened. He knew and he understood, and he is now about to go with her, staff in hand, and he will go. And he says, if you meet any man, salute him not. Don't take any time. Just bring me to this child. In fact, we read her faith vibrant and fervent in verse 30, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her, so that now the prophet, in the accompaniment of the great woman of Shunem, will go forth to the place where the child was laying. Gehazi passed on before them, we read in verse 31, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. The child had died. The child was clearly gone. You see, when she pleaded with the prophet of God, this great woman of Shunem, we must not read in verse 28 there as if she came to condemn the prophet or to blame him. Then she would have perhaps at least buried her son first, right? And then she would have come and simply told him about his death, the child's death. But she really is come because she's expressing hope. She's overwhelmed with grief, all right, as any mother would. But you see, she brings that grief to the right place. She brings that grief to the man of God. This is the Old Testament. This is the Old Testament, a time for miracles, a time where God's prophets could perform such miracles. She's coming with a vexed soul, but she's coming to the man of God for help. In other words, she's coming to God through the instrumentality of this man who had even prophesied such a thing as a childbirth. She knew that if God was able to do that through Elisha, then God can also use the prophet to raise her own son. Prophet says, all right, Gehazi, go. The woman says, no, no, you come. You come. I will not leave until you come with me. And now we read in verses 33 to 34 in this very interesting account what took place. You following? And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him and the child's knees 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. And so he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, took up her son, and went out. You must agree with me, beloved, that this is an astounding story. Perhaps some of us have never even heard of it from the Old Testament. What was that? Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? Some kind of a magical formula? Oh no. Think about it. Here's a prophet. He is the one who God had used to prophesy the birth of this child. Now the child is dead. God had hid it from him, but now had revealed it through this woman who he knew God had sent that he might now come to perform this miracle. Fervently, earnestly, with his whole being, he lays upon that child, hand to hand, heart to heart, mouth to mouth, crying out in the name of God, my breath for his breath, my eyes for his eyes, my hands for his hands. I believe it. This compassionate prophet now pleaded with God that if God had used him to bring forth this child through the great woman of Shunem, that this great woman of Shunem be not left rewardless and filled with sorrow and grieving. He prays, he goes in verse 35, walking to and fro, and then he comes back and he stretches himself again upon the child. And then the child begins to become warm and awakes. And not only awakes, but we read that the child sneezes seven times. Seven times. Why seven times? Just to show that he's active now? Wow, seven times he sneezes. Perhaps so. But I believe the number seven in Scripture is always the number of the covenant. Four, the number of men. Three, the number of the triune God. And I don't believe it's too much in the Old Testament Scriptures to interpret that to be the sign of God, the covenant God, giving this child life again and doing so through his prophet who God had sent. He is really alive and well. He is really alive and well. Great woman of Shunem, who had shown such love and compassion and kindness to the prophet, who had received this child as a gift of God, and who now, by the way of faith, had really manifest her greatness by going back to the prophet and receiving her child. Do not the scripture say, the dead by faith receive their children alive again? And so, we want to conclude today by pointing out that we have in this passage of Scripture a godly example. Let us wipe away our tears and let us rejoice to see that this woman of great faith and sacrificial love is indeed one all of us ought to emulate. Her love for God was greater than all her earthly riches. How quickly she cried to God and she showed her compassion, this great woman of Shunem, when she brought in Elisha to her home. Easy, isn't it, that we cry to God in our needs. But this great woman showed her love for God in sacrificing herself and her household for the sake of the great prophet. When by faith she served God, then she also experienced in rich measure the blessing of God. The Lord gives, yes, the Lord takes away. But then the Lord, remember Job, restores again. And this surely is what the great woman of Shunem illustrates. Walk by faith, beloved, and not by sight. Let us be encouraged to serve Jehovah with such love, with such steadfast faith. And so when God takes up his jewels, opens the book of remembrance, as we read in Malachi, he will say, here is a great woman and there is a great man who, in the love of God and gratitude towards God, showed love to my people, even to my own servants. May the great woman of Shunem serve as a godly example to all of us. May many of God's saints, angels, prophets, rich and poor, near and far, who pass by our own churches or our own households, experience the greatness of the woman of Shunem through our godly hospitality for the saints. Amen. Let us pray. O God, we thank Thee that Thou dost give to us such wonderful examples in the Scriptures. Let us search the Scriptures to see if these things be so, and then let us, O Lord, also walk with that godly hospitality to the saints, and yea, even to thy servants, for whom we are thankful, and we pray thou teach us to love the brethren, to love one another, out of the love of God through Jesus Christ. Amen.